The FIFA Women's World Cup 2015. Brought to you by The Offside Rule and Audio Boom.
Hello, this is the final Offside Rule podcast from out in Canada. Lindsay and Kate with you, summing up all things 1, 2 and 3 to begin with. Yes, gold, silver and bronze in the Women's World Cup. We're just going to give our thoughts on those games and where England ended up finishing as well. Also, we're going to talk about memories from this World Cup. What will we remember when we look back on Canada 2015? The other little feature that we've been doing is Tell On Your Roomie, isn't it? It's been one of our favourites. Well, after a month staying together, going around Canada, I think we've got to know each other pretty well, if we didn't already. So we're going to do our own version on Tell On Your Roomie. I don't know if it's a case of who knows more about whom. I'm going to put myself out there and say I think I might get the most right here.
What? Are you serious? You are an oversharer sometimes. So yeah. I bet I can reveal. It isn't about who knows more with each other. I think for me, it's about revealing some stuff about you.
Okay. We'll hold on to that just for a moment. And we'll start with the final that we were at BC Place in Vancouver. Wow. Well, first of all, what a carnival atmosphere. Just even getting to the stadium. We rounded a corner after we got off the metro and it just was drums, cheering. It was all from the USA, wasn't it?
They were out in force and many of them had travelled. In fact, I spoke to a guy who came from Northern California and he travelled 3 days with his two daughters to get there. And I was like, what? Just an insane effort from the USA fans to make it there. And a lot of them who I spoke to are hardcore fans. They've been following the team since 1999, some of them earlier. So that they're a nation really caught up in their women's soccer, more so than men's soccer, actually. You know that kind of all-out American belief? You know how...
The man I spoke to who said they'd win 7.
Yeah. It's just the ability that Americans have if they are trying to suggest something to you. It always sounds like a successful sales pitch. It's the way that they put their heart and soul into all of it and have that confidence of knowing that they're going to win. But then, mind you, so did some of the Germans buy tickets for that final. We should also say that.
Yeah, they did. Well, let's talk about the final itself. So we get into the stadium. The atmosphere was electric. You looked around, it was packed, over 53,000, which was brilliant to see for a Women's World Cup final. But the start to the game, I think we sat down, we barely had time to really have a sip of our water, and already the goals started coming.
3 minutes Carly Lloyd started, and we'd only just kind of sort of sat there because we're obviously preparing lots of audio and we're getting photos ready and we're trying to bed ourselves in for the match. We had none of that today. 4 goals in 16 minutes. Carly Lloyd scored a hat-trick in 13 minutes. I mean, those stats mean it was the highest scoring Women's World Cup final. But not just that, it was the speed of the assault which the Americans came out with. They had decided that that was the way that they were going to play their game, and wow, they executed it brilliantly.
Not only has Carly Lloyd become the first woman to score a hat-trick in a World Cup final, but let's actually digest those goals. I thought the first one was really impressive. The way she ran on to that corner kick, she had some venom in her shot as well. There was no way that they were going to save that. They needed to pick that out the net straight away. So the Japanese are already on the back foot. And I always think the opening goal is a really important one. But the third goal, a 50-yard screamer, one where she's got the audacity. You've got two goals to your name already. Your team are in front. And you have the audacity to try that. She turned two players, literally just from round about the halfway line. Some brilliant foresight to see that the Japanese goalkeeper was off her line. And actually, knowing that she'd fumbled a couple of efforts throughout this tournament, the one own goal in particular, which was awful, she was beaten, and the Japanese not known for their height. So when she was trying to backtrack, she had no chance.
Well, that was what I didn't understand, why Kaihori, the Japanese goalkeeper, was so far out of her area at that stage in the game, that there was no need for me for her to be that far out, because if something does come at her from great distance at great speed, as Carly Lloyd's shot did, she's never going to get on the back of it, because the overriding memory for me of that is Kaihori's face. Now, from where we were sitting, we couldn't directly see it, but I looked up on the screens at the replay, and all I've got in my mind is Kaihori. His face, the absolute shock of that ball coming towards her. She ran backwards with, you know, kind of making that spider shape with her body, trying to get something behind it, but failing miserably. There was nothing she could do about that.
No, Lauren Holliday and Tobin Heath, the other scorers for the USA. Japan did pull a goal back through Gimi in the first half. And then not long after the break, they got a second, which could have sent them on their way. I think if they'd got a third, what a tie that would have turned into. But there was no way USA were having any of that. They got that fifth goal and really put the game to bed. What an entertaining game, though. Seven goals in a World Cup final.
The female take on football.
Let's move on then to England and the game on Saturday, England-Germany. There was the heartbreak of the semi-final, Japan scoring so late on, Laura Bassett holding her head in her hands, the image that we've all got in our minds. So to come back from that, what a performance. Farrah Williams, cool. She is the epitome of that word. I just think taking three penalties in any World Cup, you'd think, wouldn't you, that there'd be some nerves or that they might offer it up to another player after you've taken two, because suppose you vary up the penalties a couple of times and then you think the goalkeepers might actually guess right. But her penalty taking is just so precise that it doesn't matter whether they guess the right way, the ball is still going to go in the net. I thought Farrah Williams had a brilliant tournament. Steph Horton with that goal line clearance on 9 minutes, that was integral to England winning that game and getting the bronze medal, and Lucy Bronze as well getting the Golden Ball nominee. She didn't get gold, silver or bronze, but just to be amongst those names and be recognised was really important.
Absolutely. To overturn Germany, if you think about where we were last November, losing 3-0 to them at Wembley in front of record crowds, to think where that team has come from, and I know this is a different set of circumstances, but when you think about Wembley, them having a very large home crowd behind them, being in Wembley Stadium, being at home effectively, and thinking about the fact that they've been in a World Cup, they're having to pick themselves up after that own goal by Laura Bassett, and they really, and this is what I love about this team, this is the overriding thing about this team, that they keep their heads up, they don't let a goal get them down. And I think that's so unlike any England team, men or women, that we've seen. You know, Hope Powell was great in charge of England women, but when things didn't go their way, they didn't often know how to recover from it, and that's what I think Mark Sampson's brought. He's brought a strong mental edge to this team. As you mentioned, Steph Horton has led by example, really. You know, I know she's not incredibly vocal behind the scenes. We know that Farrah Williams and Casey Stoney are probably the two most vocal members of that squad. But she leads by example. She was there. Whenever you needed her in that bronze medal match, she was there. She just kept popping up, whether it was with a head, with an essential clearance, or just getting her body in there. She was always there. And I am so pleased for her that she has proven every inch. She might not be the most vocal person, but she's proven every inch why she is the leader of the Lionesses.
And that brings on as well to the point that England have shown defensively that they're really equipped to deal with teams, and also finished top in Europe. So we head into the Euros in 2 years' time with some extra confidence. We have to. The fact that we've beaten Germany for the first time as well. There was history being made by this England team all the way through the tournament, and I'm just glad that they ended it on a high. Mm. They've gone back to the UK now. They've actually landed in London and had such a brilliant reception. It's great for the game, and hopefully it will just continue to grow. Germany, by the way, I have to say, disappointing after the group stages where they scored so many goals. Maybe they actually were the victim of being in an easier group and scoring for fun, maybe being complacent, coming out of that, going into the knockout stages. And I just felt like they never really got going in those knockout stages. I thought France actually were the worthy winners in the quarterfinal. They were very fortuitous to get to the semi. USA were better, and then England were better.
Germany, we know, weren't up for that match at all. We met some German fans a few days ago, and they just said, you know, they were still very annoyed about the refereeing in the USA game. And I know that there were tussles, weren't there, between players in that USA-Germany semi-final. And they weren't up for it. Effectively, I hate to say it, bad losers. Sorry.
We're going to leave that there. So gold, silver and bronze covered. Congratulations to the USA winning for a third time a Women's World Cup. And that's the first time that's happened. So they're history makers too.
They sure are. And every inch the winners really, really deserved, I have to say. It's not often that you experience, especially a World Cup final. You know, finals, it can be anyone's game, and often they're very tight, cagey affairs. But today was not that. It was a fantastic way to celebrate what has been a Women's World Cup, to make the history books.
Well, we will be celebrating even more memories from the Women's World Cup in Canada, because we're going to say what was worthy of remembering in years to come. What will we be rocking back and forth, Kate will say, going, oh, I remember that. Maybe next to each other in a home of some sort.
Can I just say rocking backwards and forwards, not because we've lost our sanity, but because we're in rocking chairs. Although you might be rocking backwards and forwards because you've lost your sanity, I'll have a nice knitted, colourful blanket over me and 15 cats, and I'll be in a rocking chair.
Hi, I'm Karen Bardsley, and you're listening to The Offside Rule out in Canada at the Women's World Cup with Audio Boom.
What we've done with a few of the players is we've given them some tell on your roomie cards. We have a few here. All you have to do is just pick any one, Kate, and answer it, and I'll pick one, and we'll take it in turns. Your turn first. You can start this off.
Okay, what is the best picture your roomie has taken on this trip? I liked your picture of me and Abby Wambach. I like that.
Yeah.
You had a very nice picture taken today with a couple of USA fans who are desperately trying to tap you up for your phone number. That made me smile. Yes, that's probably... Just you're very good at pictures, I have to say. You do like to take a picture or two. And so I'll go with those for now.
Okay. Does your roomie have any set routine? I wouldn't say in the morning there is any particular set routine. However, in the evening, you cannot get Kate Borsay to switch her phone off. Now, she tells you it's because she's reading news stories.
I do.
But this little blue light is just in the corner of my eye. Now, I sleep very well, so it hasn't really affected us. But I am now having extra sympathy for poor Dan in your life, who has to put up with this. When she actually goes to sleep, I have no idea. I'm long gone. But I do know that she's got this phone when I go to sleep, and when I wake up, it's on as well.
Oh, what can I say? I like to read. What's the first thing they do in the morning? Well, you're normally asleep when I'm awake, so I could say sleep. And then you get up. You know, I mean, if I'm to talk about your morning routine, there's obviously a shower and everything else. And Lindsay has several lotions and potions that line up in our bathroom, and she goes through each one. There's like a whole system behind, and I don't know what these lotions and potions are for, because I've got like a testicizer this, a testicizer that, and some moisturizer. But for Lindsay, it's a set routine between she's got like five different things for her hair. God knows what they do. I've no idea. She's got body spray, she's got a deodorant, she's got creams, she's got all sorts of things going on. But yeah, every single one of those potions has to be used every morning.
Only three products for the hair, by the way, that I bought here. But I do like my products. Let's go for this. What was the last strop your roomie threw? Probably the one that springs to mind is... I know you know what I mean. The one that springs to mind is when we've been doing some late reports, and sometimes when we're very tired, it's hard to actually string a sentence together. Kate Borsay gets more frustrated with herself than anyone else possibly ever could, to the point where I tried to get her to calm down for 5 seconds and to breathe, and she was like, no, I just want to go again.
That was really late at night. I got very, very frustrated. This is an interesting one. What does your roomie like to moan about? Well, where do I start? Insects, flies, things that buzz. She doesn't like that. So much so that we were doing a full-time match report after England had won the bronze medal. And a wasp, started to circle Lindsay as she was talking through this report. So I took the microphone back and did my bit and then handed it her back. And I could see that it was looking like it was going to bite your armpit, actually. So I pulled at her dress slightly, which was the wrong thing to do, because this wasp went into your eye shot. You didn't realise that it was there. This is the worst possible thing. If you've got anyone in your life who doesn't like bees or wasps and freaks out when they arrive, which you know is the wrong thing to do, which you shouldn't do. The next thing I know, she has her flip-flop out and she's trying to swat a wasp halfway through doing a full-time report after England have just won the bronze medal. You can hear yelping in the background.
Well, if you can identify that report, then please, by all means, flag it up. But I think I was quite silent in my swatting. What does your roomie do to relax? Stare. You do. You go into a daydream, and then I have to wave my hand in front of her to go, hello, wake up.
It's probably because I'm so tired, because I never sleep. I just glaze over. Either that or Hoops is in the middle of a fascinating story. The best advice or tip your roomie has given you. Oh, best advice or tip.
There was a saying that I imparted and your face lit up. So I'm going to take something from that. I said about that you should never ask for permission, only for forgiveness. And that's actually got us quite far, this tournament.
So just take what you want and apologise afterwards, in other words. Should we do one more?
Have you accidentally read any messages on your roomie's phone? You've given me the code, actually. You're very trusting. I've opened your phone a few times when we've been working. Not really. I've seen a couple of messages that have popped up from friends, but I haven't really read them. I just saw the top of them.
Luckily, none of the ones sort of moaning about Lindsay's diva-like behaviour. One thing your roomie knows about you that the rest of the squad, well, people out there, don't. Not many of the guys know that I wear glasses. Actually, I'm a contact lens wearer, but I'm wearing my spectacles right now. What that also means is that I'm not very observant because I'm short-sighted, so everything's like twice as far away. So often, Lindsay, you have to point things out to me.
Yes, I do feel like I am guiding you around the place sometimes. Finally, what was the last white lie you told your roomie? Well, I think I'm pretty honest with you most of the time. But when I very first set eyes on you at the airport in your biggie leggings, I think I said...
I have to explain that.
Kate has some leggings that have got Biggie on them. Explain.
I just think they're brilliant. I bought them for £2 and they're quite jolly leggings and they've got Biggie Smalls on them. He looks brilliant. There's just something about them that makes me smile, so I wear them.
Well, let me tell you, the white lie is that they don't look good.
I don't care. I love them anyway.
But she will still wear them because that's the sort of girl she is.
My name is Lissy Bronze and you're listening to the Offside Rule podcast. Kaboom!
Right, we will move on to more footballing matters. Favourite moments and things that we will remember from this Women's World Cup to take forward for, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years? What will we be talking about? If we're still around in 50 years, I'll be impressed. I'm never going to forget that the Matildas, Australia, went on such a good run and they knocked out Brazil. Marta was sent packing.
Marta was off ski, thanks to the Matildas. Yeah, really good performance from Australia and I think that they will take great heart from that and I hope that the country continue to put more investment into women's football.
I have to say that Colombia and USA fans, what an atmosphere if you had those two meet each other. Both have impressed me. USA today, loud, raucous, expectant, brilliant atmosphere. The Colombians edge it for me though because they're perhaps not quite as expectant. They're there for the ride. And that's what I love about the Colombians. They come along to support their team all over the world. And they just give a carnival atmosphere. They did when we played them in the group stages. And I remember seeing them at the Men's World Cup as well and loving the Colombian fans. I've really taken them into my heart again.
Germany. I'm going to go on to them. You did mention them earlier, but just learning that Germany aren't flawless out of those group stages. They had great results in the group stages. Their first game against Ivory Coast, that went into double figures in terms of goals. Great group stage, not that convincing afterwards. And they fell apart really against France, but they were very lucky to get through. And then USA completely destroyed them. I don't know whether it's that Sylvia Nide's retiring. I don't know whether they peaked too early. Perhaps Anya Mittag, she was so essential for them in the group stage. I didn't see enough of her after that, really, to be honest. Celia Sasic missed a penalty. How unusual is that? So, yeah, Germany not as convincing as we thought that they would be.
I would add into that as well, France being robbed in their quarterfinal with Germany. Probably the poorest refereeing display of the tournament, that game. The penalty decisions were all over the place. France, I just felt sorry for them in that game. I know they weren't convincing when they played Colombia and they had a lot to make amends for, but I thought in that game they really deserved something from it.
So something else that I'll remember the World Cup for in 2015, referees could be better. I know we've all sort of argued this, and yeah, it doesn't matter whether the referee is a man or a woman, they make mistakes and they get hounded for it. And that's just standard, right? Whether it's the Premier League, whether it's the Men's World Cup, whether it's the FA Cup, whether it's lower league football, they get hammered for it. But what I think FIFA might want to consider is, in terms of refereeing, shouldn't this just be about the best of the best? Do we need to consider bringing men's referees into this tournament? And I think that this particular tournament has been the first where we've said, look, perhaps this does need to be addressed. I'm all for giving women the opportunity opportunity to referee at huge marquee tournaments like this. But I don't think that they've caught up with the speed of the game. I don't think they can handle height in the game particularly well either. So either there needs to be dramatic improvements to the standard of women's refereeing and more opportunities like this. They can't just be given this big marquee event and not much else. So either that needs to happen or we need to consider bringing men in. I think the referee's game needs to be moved on.
And can I just explain, just for anyone wondering when you said about handling height, because I know what you're meaning, is that there are bigger players in this tournament, Jill Scott for England being one of them, and it feels like she never gets a decision go her way. I know what you mean. We see that with Peter Crouch as well in the Premier League. Sometimes because they're big, then you automatically give the foul the other way. And it needed particular attention to some of the bigger players.
And Abby Wambach isn't small. She's one of the taller players in the USA team. And I know she's had that problem in the past as well. So yeah, referees, we've discussed it an awful lot, but I think something needs to be done there.
I'm going to plough in with artificial turf. Hopefully this is the last thing that we'll remember, because it will be the final time that a Women's World Cup is played on artificial turf. I really hope that's the case. And in the meantime, I have to say that I will also remember hearing and falling in love in a footballing way with Veronica Paquette. I think that she is brilliant, the Spain captain. She has done so much for her country, for her national team, for bringing on women's football in Spain. And she's so articulate, so passionate, and so unafraid to say what she thinks. We were at a FIFA Pro launch where this was one of the topics during the press conference about artificial turf and the more that they can do for women players to make sure that doesn't happen again. And Veronica Paquette, I put a question to her and she couldn't have answered it better, could she? She was brilliant.
She just said very, very plainly and clearly, the Women's World Cup should be about women having the chance to show off their best, to be their best. And she very simply said, playing on artificial turf doesn't give us that chance. It denies us the chance to be at our best.
Unfortunately, we know too much about this next point, but Japan love a late goal, apart from in a final. But the rest of the competition, they have scored fairly late on. And I have to say, their defence-splitting passes are just beautiful. They're a sight to behold. Some of their passing from inside their own defensive third all the way through to an attacking third pass. You know, you're talking about a 40, 50-yard pass. And they are pinpoint, unlike any other team that I've watched. They are playing that game. Often they're sitting deep. They're taking all the pressure and just hoping to strike on a counter. It's worked for them throughout, apart from at the final where they were undone. But they are a beautiful sight to see when they are in motion. It really is poetry in motion.
Another thing we're going to remember is the fact that we've had the first round of 16 this time round. The tournament was expanded to 24 teams, so that's come in, another knockout stage into the process. So that's one thing to remember. Another quick one I'm going to chip in with, Hope Solo. She wears too much makeup, Lindsay, but she's a blooming good goalkeeper. Up until the final, she'd only let in one goal throughout the whole tournament. Of course, she let in another couple today, but I'm not going to deny her that golden glove.
No, and I think we'll leave her with the golden glove and we'll leave you with some great thoughts and experiences and memories from Canada 2015. We hope you've enjoyed our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed the audio over on Audio Boom. We must thank Audio Boom as well, who sent us out here to do all of the coverage. We've really enjoyed it.
We absolutely have, and we have felt incredibly lucky to be here when England have made history and achieved that bronze medal. So well done to England women again and to USA for walking off with that title.
OffsideRulePodcast.com. We've got lots of audio on there as well that you can see. And give us a follow on at OffsideRulePod and we'll keep you up to speed as well with the second half of the WSL season and returning to normal with our Offside Rule podcast every Thursday. Bye for now.
The FIFA Women's World Cup 2015. Brought to you by the Offside Rule and Audio Boom.